Eli thing. I said, did I say king?
King.
Yeah. First Samuel. Could somebody read that for us?
From verse?
Chapter 25, I think I want just 2 or 3 verses, beginning at verse 1.
All right. And Samuel died, and all Israelites were gathered together and lamented him, and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Moan, whose possession were...
There was a man?
And there was a man in Moan,
uh-huh,
whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel.
Now you are introduced, dear holy, to Abigail's husband, Nabal. He was, in fact, a rich man. Read.
No, the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding.
Now, Abigail didn't write that. That's inspiration. Guided the writer who wrote it. She was a woman of what?
Good understanding.
Uh-huh.
And of a beautiful countenance.
She was a beautiful woman. She was a wise woman. Had understanding.
But the man was churlish,
uh-huh,
and evil in his doings.
He was evil.
Doings.
Thank you. So here we are introduced to two people. They are almost the total opposite. But we can, as we, those who were here last week, learn much from them. Last week, 3 aspects of Abigail's character, ways, attitude, disposition were looked at. And tonight, we look at another 3 points that came out in the scripture from this woman's greatness. Among the things that we ended on last week is the fact that Abigail was objective and honest. That is, you could come to Abigail, get as close to her as you can with things or people to whom she was connected. And if you brought the truth that Abigail know it is a truth, she would concur with you. That's maturity. We have seen this when her servants described in a negative way her husband. She did not get mad at them because she knew that they were telling the truth. But we pick up now on the 4th point, that Abigail was a woman of sacrifice and noble. She was generous, but she was more than generous. You have to qualify her generosity, noble generosity. We all, most of us, if not all, you're mindful of how we get to hear about Abigail and Nabal. Nabal being a rich man, rich in cattle and animal rearing, And when his servants were in the wilderness, where a lot of the cattle and probably sheep and other things were, David hiding from King Saul. You see, David was a fugitive for many years. Having done nothing, he did something, but it was all good. And it was out of jealousy that King Saul wanted to kill David. David had to be hiding. And when David was hiding to save his life with the men that followed him, David had following. They were men who acted as soldiers who were with David wherever he went. While David was hiding, he found himself in close proximity to Nabal shepherd, those men who took care of Nabal cattle and animal. And you know what? David and his men did not see to no one again steal a few of those sheep or cow for their own supply. He helped Nabal men to protect the sheep and the cows. And they testify that at no time any of those animals was ever missing. And David waited for the strategic time, waited until Nabal was shearing, slaughtering animal and giving it to his workmen. David waited, and it was then he sent message. No doubt David knew that Nabal's men would testify to the fact that David and his men were noble in their character in relating to them and the animals. So David heard that Nabal was shearing sheep and etc. and sent, begging something. And you know what? From the assistance that David and his men gave, David felt strongly that he had a right to ask for some help because he needed help. That is, he felt that Nabal would feel that he has some moral obligation, and that is right. But when David sent, Nabal, being the man he was, sent back insultive word. Who is this David? And David's righteous indignation was awakened. That's how comes we are hearing about this lesson or this story. David told his men to put their sword on, because by daylight there won't be alive a dog. He was really going up to kill everything and everybody, including Nabal's wife. So it was when Abigail heard of the commitment that David made that he's coming to kill everybody at that household, that she decided to put some supplies together without letting her husband know. Because had he known that his wife was going to take from his supply and take it to this David, only God could tell what that woman would have to go through had he known then. Let us hear verse 18.
Then Abigail made haste. And took 200 loaves.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 bottles of wine. And 5
200 sheep. 200 loaves.
And
now, wait, brother. That must be big hard dough bread like we used to use in the country. It's like each of David's soldiers would get one. Read.
And 2 bottles of wine,
uh-huh.
And 5 sheep ready dressed.
Yes.
And 5 measures of parched corn.
Many and of you don't even know what that is. Parched corn. David, those people those days were enlightened. Like when I was growing up, parched corn was a wonderful thing. You beat it in the mortar. In the mortar. I was surprised some time ago, a pharmacy up in my area sell it in a little bag. In fact, I remember my daughter, Olive, of course, she didn't grow up in the country, but she came and saw it and buy a lot of the packages to carry back to the state, parched corn. Nice thing. Well, thank God they had it in this time, too. Read on.
And 100 clusters of raisins,
mm-hmm.
And 200 cakes of figs,
mm-hmm.
And lay them on houses.
Now, you get an indication here that Nabal's house was well supplied with everything.
Amen.
Because it seems as if his wife, Abigail, could have put her hand on these things in a hurry. And it had to be in a hurry because David's righteous indignation meant that by the morning, everybody in that household would be killed.
Amen.
Because David felt that this man was just unjust and unreasonable. Read on.
And she said unto her servants,
mm-hmm.
Go on before me.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal.
Brother Mitchell, isn't she a deceptive wife? No, you have to listen to the whole story first. Because she's going to tell her husband afterward.
Yeah.
That's right. And this is strategic.
Yeah.
Very, I'm sorry we can't go from where we were last week. You talk about a woman with intelligence, common sense.
Mm-hmm.
It comes out in this lesson,
in
the passage. So it's a wise thing for her not to have told her husband. He's going to be told because she's a woman of that type, above board. So she's going to afterward divulge to him what she did. But wait. Here is it. The step she now take is to save his life.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what a great woman. This business of taking this supply to David because she heard what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And decided to take step to save his life. Wait, she could have done other things, you know. She could have decided, miserable man that is. We don't know how we pick him up. I'm glad David going to kill him. What I'm going to do is leave the house.
Uh-huh.
Leave the area for a while and let David come and kill him.
Yeah.
You see, she if she had been an evil woman, she could think like that.
Yeah.
But no, she was just noble. She confessed to David. In fact, she took the blame for her husband's evil. But at this point, wisely, strategically, she felt it would not be wise to inform her husband that she's taking this supply. And from what we have been told about Nabal, had she informed him up front, he would have taken steps to stop it.
Yeah.
And probably while he's stopping it, David and his men would invade the whole premises and kill all of them, including this wonderful woman. She felt that no sacrifice was too great to save the lives of her husband and the workmen of her household. That's right. That's what we see at play here. She did everything urgently to save their lives. And as I've said, the life of her husband, this shows the woman's bigness of mind. That as miserable and devilish as he was to her and the workmen. How do you know Brother Mitchell, he was miserable to the workmen? The passage brought it out. When the workmen came and was reporting to Abigail in respect to how good David and his men were to them, and how ungrateful her husband acted, she didn't get at them saying, "You can't speak about my husband like that." She knew that he was a devil.
Yeah.
But she was generous. And she did that which was wise and that which was good. The fifth point about Abigail, in addition to the fact that she was a woman of sacrifice and a woman of noble generosity, Abigail's speech was eloquent, conciliatory, that is peaceful. Additionally, her speech was pacifying and her speech was genuine. Listen, some of it from verse 24, as she made her contact with David.
Yeah.
Verse 24 following.
And fell at his feet.
She fell at David's feet.
And said, upon me.
We dealt some with her humility. Genuine. You see, we can play the diplomat. Abigail was not playing diplomat here when she met David and fell at his feet. She was genuinely a humble woman.
Amen.
May I point out this? May I, brothers and sisters? It's good to be genuine. It's good to, when you give a smile, you are not just pretending. It is genuine. It is spontaneous. It is real. It's good that when you give a compliment or a praise, you are true to yourself. It's always good to be genuine.
Yeah.
And when she showed humility by her action here, it was not pretend.
Yeah.
She was genuine. Read.
And said, upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be.
Yeah, isn't this one the holy brother? You know, she did not know that her husband had received requests from David's men who were in need. She didn't know about it. Yet to say that devilish man and the household, she's taking the blame. This again is the woman's bigness and nobility. Oh my God.
Amen.
And me, my Lord.
And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thy audience.
Give me a chance to speak to you. That time, you know, that time David vexation I boil up like a pot. Truly, he was ready. to go and kill. The man was genuinely vexed for the injustice and the inconsiderateness of Nabal. Read.
And hear the words of thine handmaid.
Hear, please listen to me, sir.
Let not my lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial.
You she described her husband? But Michelle, isn't she disrespectful? No, she was just telling the truth, that you know.
Yeah.
Let not my lord regard this devilish man.
Even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he.
That's right. Nabal mean fool. That's right. And she said, his name is a genuine reflection of who he is.
Yeah.
It's her husband she's describing. But as I've said, she's objective.
Yeah.
She could face what he was. And if I may, she lived with it.
Yeah.
Read on.
Nabal is his name, and folly is with him.
Folly is with him.
But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young man of my lord.
You see, when you send the messengers, our messenger, to seek some help, I was not aware of it. Yet I'm here taking the blame. Read.
Whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholded thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging.
This is great. And I like this. You will notice that all that she has said so far, it is pacifying. It is to bring some, instead of that boiling blood in David that made him so mad, ready to go and kill because he see the unreasonableness and injustice, she bring another side to the situation. She's bringing peace. She's helping him to think.
Yeah.
You see, she's reasoning with him.
Yeah.
Read on.
And from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my lord be as Nabal.
That's right. You see, all those David who don't wish you well, those who want bad to come to you, may they be like my husband. May folly line their path. Read on.
And now these blessings which thine handmaid hath brought unto my lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my lord.
Mm-hmm.
I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid.
Mm-hmm.
For the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house.
May I? She's not just a wife pleading for her husband and her household. She is reminding David of the God whom David served.
Mm-hmm.
Among the things, you know, this business of she facing the type of person her husband was.
Yeah.
When we hide, when we defend the wrong, the evil of those who are close to us, Is it children? Is it a biological brother or sister? Is it husband, wife? And when you as a part of that person know very well that person's evil shortcoming that affect others, when you cover it up, defend it, hide it, when others bring it to your attention, when we do that, we do not only look as wrong and as evil as that family member, we are denying what they are, but we also lose respect. That's right. If I know that a family member of mine is such and such in a negative way, I may not go telling everybody, and a lot of times that's probably the wise thing, not to worry, add to it. But when other people find out that that family member of mine is etc., etc., and bring it to my attention, I must not act as if they are wrong and mischievous. Abigail did not act as if she married to an angel.
Yeah.
Are we all there? Yeah. Because that would not help her case or his case. She had taken the blame for his evil, but was ready to acknowledge that he was just an evil person.
Yeah.
But what we notice here is that she used her peaceful and pacifying conciliatory speech to cool the anger and the wrath of David and diverted him from his vengeful purpose and directed his heart to the Almighty God.
Amen.
In other words, when he stood there and she exercised her common sense. In fact, Abigail speaks as if she had just finished her PhD dissertation and speech. She gave such a speech. I love to read what she wrote. But when she finished with David, David's heart was directed from shedding blood, from vexation, to acknowledging that thank God, God sent you woman.
Amen.
What a great woman.
Amen.
Look at verse 26 following.
Now, therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth.
Start again, brother, please.
Now, therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth.
As God lives.
And as thy soul liveth.
And as your soul live.
Seeing the Lord hath withholded thee from coming to shed blood.
You know, it's God she brought in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
We can take, hold it, brother, I'm not finished. We can take a leaf from here in helping us to bring peace when there are conflict.
Amen.
We sit down for a few minutes and think, what's the best way to deal with it? Because we see wisdom on display here. Yes, as God lives and as your soul liveth.
And from
helping David to realize it is God who stopped you from coming to shed innocent blood. Remember, David and his men would also kill her. Read on, brother.
and from avenging thyself with thine own hand.
Mm-hmm.
Now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord
mm-hmm.
be as Nabal.
That's right. Anybody who wish you evil, David, let folly line their path like my miserable husband. Read on.
And now this blessing with thine own handmaid art.
That's the supply. Which refer to as this blessing.
Thine own handmaid had brought unto my Lord.
Uh-huh.
Let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord.
Uh-huh.
I pray thee, forgive the trespasses of thine handmaid.
I pray you, forgive the trespass of me, Abigail. That's who she referred to as her handmaid. Yeah. You know, that's herself. Uh-huh.
For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house.
God, you see, by this time in Israel history, it was well spread over all Israel that David going to replace Saul.
Mm-hmm.
So Abigail knew of it. But in these few verses, Abigail is speaking as if prophesying. And it could well be that God was speaking through her of some of God's plan for David.
Amen.
But a lot of this information by this time had spread all over Israel. Read that.
Because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord.
God, you, David, fight the battle of the Lord. You must be mindful that when she had approached David at first, David's heart was filled with revenge.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point we have in the reading, David, at this point, mine had been turned from shedding blood, from killing the very dark in the city. Read on.
And evil had not been found in thee all thy days.
That's right. What verse are you?
28. Finish. 28.
Read on, brother.
Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul.
Wait. She's referring to Saul. You notice the way. You see, no evil have been found in you, David, all your days. You see, news about David had spread all of Israel.
Yeah.
And the thing you would hear about David, he was ready to defend Israel's cause at any time, anywhere, against any enemy. Everybody knew that about David, and Abigail knew that. Read that little part again, brother.
Yet, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, a man is risen to pursue thee.
That is King Saul. A man is risen to pursue you. Read on.
And to seek thy soul.
And to seek your soul, to kill you. Uh-huh.
But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God.
Where this woman gets so much word? the soul of my Lord will be what?
Shall be bound in the bundle of life.
Shall be bound, that is hidden, tied up in the bundle of?
Of life.
Of life.
With the Lord thy God.
With the Lord God going to hide you no matter who I try to kill you. Read on, brother.
And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling.
You see, she probably heard about how David killed Goliath with the slingshot. And she's relating everything to it. You know, I love Abigail. Amen. Read on, brother.
And it shall come to pass
mm-hmm.
when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee.
Yeah, you hear this? She was a godly woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she was up to date on all the things that God planned for David. And notice, I don't know if you notice what she's doing. In her speech, she's reminding him of the great plan God had for him.
Amen.
And that if he pursued going to shed blood, His conscience would worry him for the rest of his life. David could never have gone after listening to this woman to kill Nabal and his household anymore. After the speech, even if she didn't bring any supply. Because she brought God and God's plan to his attention. Read some more now.
And shall have appointed the ruler over Israel. That this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord. Either that thou hast shed blood causeless.
You get what the King James word it's not. This not going to rest on your conscience that you have shed blood. Because you see, had David gone up, watch here, had David gone up and killed Nabal and all the household, including this beautiful, wonderful, wise woman, the wife of Nabal, had he gone up and killed everybody? When him cooled down, a day after, David's conscience would probably bother him for the rest of his life. You remember when David cut off a little piece of King Saul's coat? And how that worry and bother him afterward? Well, can you imagine if he had gone up and killed Nabal, the household, and the innocent women, including Nabal's wife, that word. And she is bringing it to his attention. What verse are you?
31.
Read on.
Or that my Lord had avenged himself, but when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel.
Oh my God. Read, brother.
And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.
Which sent this day to meet me.
You notice the humility in David and the wisdom. David, having had a few moments to listen to this woman and to reflect, it's like David is giving God thanks for sending this woman his way.
Amen.
And he's right. This woman hindered David from shedding in a sense, innocent blood.
Amen.
In a sense. Read on, brother.
And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood.
You hear all what David is saying here? The man is right.
Amen.
May I hold it? Somebody said that in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, the three greatest people were Samuel, David, and Abigail. There are many other great characters in the book of Samuel. But one theologian pointed out that the three greatest characters in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, is Samuel, David, and Abigail. Read on.
And from avenging thyself with thine own hand, for in every deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee,
except David is personal here, because David knew what his plan was.
Yeah. Amen.
And from hurting thee, it's not that he was going specifically to hurt Abigail. He was going to clean up everybody, kill everybody in that household. He was so vexed.
Yeah.
And he's acknowledging that she would be a part of the slaughter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Read.
Except thou art hasted.
If you didn't make haste.
And come to meet me.
And come to me.
Surely there had not been left unto Nabal.
Don't the vulgar like whoever write that, brother. So you can skip out a particular word. There had not been left
unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth.
I tell you not to be vulgar. I tell the brother not to be vulgar, and the brother is still vulgar. That statement means dog. That whoever done up against the wall. It's referring to the dog. That man was going to kill the very dog. And that's what David is acknowledging. What verse is that?
34.
Read a little. 31?
34.
31?
4. 34.
You may stop there. We don't want any more vulgarity. Let me just see if I can, in another 5 minutes, end this lesson. That was the fifth point. Abigail, eloquent, conciliatory, and pacifying speech. It doesn't get better. The common sense and the wisdom that she employed and that David's own, as David responded to what she said, he acknowledged and gave God thanks for having sent her. But the final point we want to look at in brief is that Abigail's exalted faith in the Almighty God. That is her faith in the overruling influence of God. That faith in God's overruling saved the day. It not only saved the day, it saved the destiny of a man, that is David, who was marked for greatness in God's scheme of things. Abigail truly believed in the Almighty God. She did. And the Almighty God, who often overrule or put a stop or a hindrance in the path of men or women who are going to do things that they would regret afterward, Abigail, believe in that. In the overruling influence of the Almighty God. And how David could have marred his own future had he continued on his path, not having the advice and the restraint that this woman represents. Abigail's faith in the righteousness and the goodness of God. Her faith in God's overruling providence, that became the powerful overruling, restraining influence of David. This we see, as we have just read, in verse 32 through verse 34. That both David and Abigail acknowledge the powerful, overruling influence of the Almighty God upon men and women's life. Abigail was wise, humble, intelligent, and she was as genuine as diamond. She had no plan to hide what she did from her husband. Why? She was an above board woman. But she was wise, so she knew that certain things call for a pivotal time, specific time. And if you deal with that thing at another time, it will not be as effective. She had enough common sense, enough intelligence to know that. What a great woman. Let us hear these last few verses, the same chapter from verse 36 to 39.
And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house. Like the feast of a king.
Yeah, everybody hear that? Her husband. Of course, she returned from carrying the supply. She returned home. And he had a feast. It was like a feast of a king. The man was that rich and powerful and whatever.
And Nabal's heart was merry.
That's right. Because the wine was there and you understand.
For he was very drunken.
He was very intoxicated.
Wherefore, she told him nothing, less or more, until...
Wait. Let me hear that again, brother. Wherefore, she did not tell him...
Told him nothing.
Anything. Wait, this is strategic. And this is important. There are times when it's wise that we wait to break certain news, to discuss certain things. But it takes wise men and women to know when is the strategic moment.
Amen.
Abigail knew.
Yeah.
She didn't tell him yet.
Yeah.
The man was intoxicated. And she didn't tell him when she was carrying it because he would put up ignorance.
Yeah.
All that is wise move. You talk about wrong move. She's not going to make any wrong move. Read.
Less or more until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning when the wind, when the wine was gone out of Nabal and his wife.
And he wasn't intoxicated anymore. He wasn't drunk anymore. Read.
And his wife had told him these things.
The wife told him, relate to him, that he had carried some supply to David. I have no doubt she reminded him of how good David and his men had been to his shepherd. I have no doubt that she included that. Read that.
That his heart died within him.
And just because he heard that his wife carries some supply, when he says he had whatever in him, it's like the man going to die.
And he became as a stone.
As a what?
Stone.
He became as a stone. Why, brother Mickey? He heard that his wife took some supply to some men that had been good, considerate and kind and helpful to his men and his cattle. Read on.
And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died.
You hear what inspiration say? You know. Sometimes, you know, a member of people that I know would share certain news with me. And I remember weeks or months gone, somebody shared some news with me. It's their business. And for quite a few seconds, I was saying to the person on the phone that there is a God, there is a God, there is a God. Because it was a situation whereby this person had done good to a child. From that child was a little pygmy right up until he became a big young man. She was like a mother to him. And he had shown all the ingratitude, etc., etc., to that lady. And then he had entered a business and was relatively successful. It's like he was flying and in the sky. You know, all the people around that lady, it's like him couldn't care less, him not know them. And when anybody who knew what that woman did for him, and when I heard what and what he had lost, that which was the foundation core of his business was taken away. His house was taken away. The only thing I could say, there is a God. Well, here you have it. The Bible didn't say Nabal just died. It says the Lord took the man. All the things that he was so jealous over and protecting selfishly. You know what? It's going to become David's. Read a little more, brother.
And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord that had pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal."
Yeah. He's giving God thanks that he didn't do any harm.
Amen.
To Nabal. May I? And all of that is when God sent Abigail to reason with him. Read up.
"And had kept his servant from evil. For the Lord had returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head."
God had returned the wickedness. That is Nabal's selfishness. God had returned it
upon his own head.
And it is on his own head.
"And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife."
That is, and all that Abigail, that Nabal owned became David's.
Yeah.
That's providence.
Man.
Yeah, that's how God operates.
Man.
But the bottom line here, thank God, David did not go and shed blood, kill the man out of vexation. God had sent Abigail as a restraining force. Thank God.
Yeah.
What a great woman this woman was.
Yeah.
Read this lesson over and develop some of the godliness, the wisdom, the common sense that is found in this woman. Thank you.
We will stand and sing song 273.